welcome to Music Mingle. My name is Isaac.
My name is Lizzie.
And we're here to talk about music. Today is a very special episode. It's actually a part one of a two-part series we're going to have where we analyze the difference between public education and private education in the context of music. We have a very special guest. Megan Thorup is joining us. Megan Thorup teaches orchestra, guitar, AP Music Theory, and more at Mountain Ridge High School in Harriman, Utah. Megan presented at UMEA and National and State ASTA conferences. She ran the Utah All-State Orchestra for 5 years. She has a blog called myhappyteachinglife.com and has a super sweet dog named Coda. Thank you for joining us, Megan.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so as Isaac kind of mentioned, our topic today is the importance of public music teaching, public school music teaching. And this is part one of a two-part episode series that is going to be on public teaching. The second part will be on private teaching. So I want to just start off with a few statistics for you. This first one comes from childrensmusicworkshop.com. And this says, schools with music programs have an estimated 90.2% of graduation rate. 93.9% attendance rate compared to schools without music education, which averages at 72.9% graduation and 84.9% attendance. So, kind of crazy. Another thing I want to throw out is from a website called digitaleditions.walsworth.com, who enrolls in high school music classes. I just want to give you kind of an idea of percentage of students that are in music classes to make this more relevant for our communities. It says, overall, 24% of graduating class of 2013 enrolled in one or more music ensembles. It says, choir was the most popular with 13% of students. Band was 11%. 2% is orchestra.
That's crazy. That's tiny. That's so tiny. Well, I mean, it makes sense because I come from definitely a band-heavy high school that had a choir for like 2 years and then it faded away and we were like light years away from having an orchestra. So luckily for us, we have somebody with us who has extensive orchestra teaching experience. You have an extensive pedigree of teaching high school and I mean, beyond high school too. Where all have you taught in your past? What's your teaching history, Megan?
So I started at a charter school where I taught grades 3 through 9, and I did an after-school band and orchestra program, and then I co-taught the choir classes during the day. After teaching there for 3 years, I switched to Harriman High School. I taught there for 6 years, where I was mostly teaching orchestra, AP Music Theory, and Spanish. And then I switched to Mountain Ridge High School so I could be full-time music, and that's where I picked up guitar and music 1010.
Music teachers are underappreciated. That's awesome. So much. You're doing so much. So that's awesome. I guess we'll go into our questions. Today's episode is kind of going to be a Q&A format. And our first question we have for you, knowing that this is going to be a two-parter and talking about private and public education, what role has private teaching had in your personal music development?
So I think if you're going to become a music teacher, or anything in the music profession, you have to have a private instructor. I think it pretty much goes without saying, you have to have private instruction at some time, and I did. I started on piano when I was about 5. My mom decided that was actually a bad idea to start that young, so I quit for a year or two, and then picked it back up when I was 7 or 8. So I took piano for a few years. I switched to violin when I was in 5th grade. That's when my school offered it as a class. So then when I started 6th grade, my mom got me a private instructor, and I had a private instructor all the way through high school and college. I stayed in school orchestra as well. I did miss out on my 8th grade year because the teacher was a little crazy.
Yeah.
We've all had some crazy orchestra teachers, am I right?
Understandable.
Especially Isaac, because he's a percussionist.
It's bound to happen. It happens. It's okay. So you had extensive private teaching in your own life, but what role did that play in comparison to your public teaching? Now, what public experiences did you have with music before becoming a teacher?
So like I said, I started in 5th grade, and I was in elementary school orchestra program. We had a half hour or an hour. I don't really remember, but it was a pretty short amount of time, and we went maybe twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays or something to practice together. I took orchestra in 7th and 9th grade. Like I said, I did skip that 8th grade year because of the teacher. But once I got into high school, I was in high school orchestra all the way through. And I also took choir and AP Music Theory while I was in high school as well.
Do you feel like one, that your private teachers or your public experience had a greater influence in you over the other, personally?
Musically.
Musically speaking.
You know, I don't... That's a tough question because there are definitely a lot of things I draw on from the private teachers that I had, but there are a lot of things that I took from my public teachers as well. I had several different orchestra conductors. I should mention I also played in the after-school honors orchestra for my school, the district honors orchestra. So I had like 4 or 5 different conductors I worked with there. I also had my school teacher, and there were things from all of them that I took and that I use now today as a teacher. So I don't know that I can say that one influenced me more than another. I think if we're talking about violin technique, for sure, it's going to be my private teachers. But if we're talking about like how to run a class or playing in an ensemble or the habits that I have as a performer, I probably got more of that from my public education.
Totally. That's a great answer, actually. Something I haven't thought about myself.
Yeah. Cool. I think there's definitely something to be said about you get different things from different situations. I was the same way, like, got a lot of things from my different, like, orchestra directors and stuff, but also from my private teachers. Okay, so now we're going to ask you some questions that are more specific to, like, your job. What do you think is your role in a classroom? And what do you think your job is for the students?
You know, I've thought about this quite a lot, and I've talked to other teachers about this. When I was in college, one of my professors made us write an essay about our music education philosophy. You know, I'm sure every education major has to do that. For me personally, I think my role in the music education program is to help my students culturally understand the music that surrounds them every day, to be able to participate in it in some way. I want my students to continue to make music after they leave my class, and I want that to be part of their life for the rest of their lives. So I really try to get my students involved in the community. I try to inform them about community groups, and I try to make sure that their music skills are up to the level that they can participate in college ensembles, or they could participate in community ensembles, or they can play on their own, or they could play in church, or they could form their own duet or ensemble and feel comfortable doing so. Feel like they have the skills and the knowledge they need to participate in music for the rest of their lives.
I love that. As kind of a follow-up, what do you feel like are ways that you can do that, and what are some limits that you have on you not being able to do that?
I think there's a lot of things that go into that. One is being able to teach them the technique. I'm an orchestra teacher, so, you know, we're teaching string instruments. There's a ton of technique that goes into that. So I play in a lot of community groups, and I cannot tell you how many times I have walked into a community rehearsal and sat down to see what we're playing, and I pull up like a Beethoven symphony or something, and it's like, dude, I am a college-trained professional, and this is actually quite difficult for me. But I look around me, and the kid sitting next to me is like 14 years old and just graduated from 9th grade. She doesn't have a chance of playing that music. And I look across to the other violin section, and there's somebody from my neighborhood who definitely does not have a college education, and she's trying to play this music. And for me, it kills me because a lot of them just don't know. I also conduct community groups. I conduct the Harriman Community Orchestra, and a lot of times I'll ask my community orchestra to play a certain bowing, and they have no idea what it is. They look at me with blank stares because they just don't know what to do. They don't have that technical foundation. So I think a big part of that is teaching them the skills and the technique to be able to play. I think another thing is to teach them how to appreciate the music that is all around them. And that means going through a wide variety of music styles. I am a firm believer that our music education should not just include a narrow range of composers and styles, but it should range from all the way from Renaissance to what is being written today. And so we do try and do a lot of that. I think in today's society, in today's culture, it's really important for the students to be able to improv. I think it's really important to be able to compose. And so to teach them a little bit of theory, to give them the skills where they feel comfortable and feel like, hey, I can create music on my own. I don't have to be trained for 5 years in college to be able to compose a piece or improv a part on top of this song or something. Like, I think those are all really important skills to have. And then just finally letting them know what the opportunities are, pointing them in the direction of colleges where they might perform, or community groups where they could join, and just letting them know, hey, there are these opportunities for you after you graduate from my class.
Yeah, I can say I wouldn't be here right now, here being studying music, or I guess married to my wife either, if I hadn't have been pushed in the direction to go for like Allstate Band in high school. That was a resource, or like, I would never have known was there except for my high school director told me, hey, you should like do this. And not that that's a community resource per se, but it's definitely something that falls under the purview of a high school director to be like, hey, here's an opportunity for you. You can get scholarship money, or you can get like stuff on your resume and stuff I didn't know I could put on there, but he totally pushed me in that way. And if I hadn't been from a high school teacher, I wouldn't have pushed myself to achieve something to put on my resume to realize, oh, like I actually am pretty good at this thing, or I feel like I'm pretty good at this thing at the very least. Yeah, that's a super valuable aspect, underrated aspect of public teaching, I'd say.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like that's something that you would hope teachers would be able to do, but I personally did not have that experience. My teacher in high school, we never went over technique. He never told us when Allstate auditions were. I would have had to look that up myself, but unfortunately I just never did. I didn't even know that I could look it up myself. I didn't even know. Yeah. So, anyways, my experience kind of did feel a little bit stunted from my public orchestra, my public school orchestra learning experience. But I think if I had learned, one of the things I want to touch on too is if I had learned improv, that would have been really helpful, because that's not something that a lot of private teachers do. And I honestly think that technique and mastering of an instrument is probably what you should like focus on in private lessons. But it's really uncomfortable when you find yourself in like a studio scenario and somebody's like, yo, can you like improv on like a D major scale or something? And you're like, So I think learning those skills just make you so much more marketable as a musician and can help you so much. So giving your students opportunities upon opportunities to learn that is really good.
Yeah, totally. With that being said, we've analyzed, I guess, the role of public teaching, but what do you feel like specifically public teaching offers that private instruction can't offer?
That is an interesting question.
Not to be a loaded question or anything. I'm just like, is there anything either?
You gave me this question beforehand, and I was thinking about it yesterday, and I thought, honestly, there is nothing that public education teachers can do that a private teacher couldn't do better if they wanted to. There's no reason why a private teacher couldn't cover all of the technique and the music history and the improv and the composition and anything else that I do, and probably do it a whole lot better than how I do it. The only thing that I think a public education can offer that private education cannot is that we offer music education for free where the students are, and I think that's a big deal. I think there are hundreds and thousands of students who would not study music if it wasn't freely offered to them in a place where they were already at. And I think that is a big deal, and it is something that is a benefit to a lot of students, but I think it's also one of the challenges as a music teacher, because you are dealing with all those students who maybe don't have the parental support, who maybe don't have the financial resources, who maybe can't get the best instrument or any instrument, and you're still trying to teach them and get them up to a level of performance. comparable to somebody who maybe is taking private lessons and has all those resources available to them.
Mm-hmm. Drop the mic. That's awesome. I don't have anything else to add there. That's perfectly said, I think. You can play a Beethoven symphony in like a small private school orchestra or something that you pay a lot of money for, right? You don't have to go to a public school to have that opportunity. But the key difference is that you're paying a lot of money and going to a small private school orchestra to do that. So I definitely am one of those people. I would never have come here. My parents would never have spent all that money for me to go to a private school. But since I was getting a public education, they encouraged it and they loved it and they appreciated it. And I grew to appreciate it too. So I stand here as a testimonial of that.
Yeah, and I think that we can also specify like kind of what we mean by all of these things. So public school education is obviously like if you're going to some sort of public school and you're in a school orchestra or band or choir. Private teaching is mostly like one-on-one with like a teacher that you are paying to teach you the skills needed to play your instrument. And then there's also kind of this subgroup of orchestras that you can audition for that are usually like you also have to pay for,
yeah.
pay money for. So I personally kind of did a little bit of everything. I did school orchestra, I was taking private lessons, and then I also was auditioning for groups for like youth orchestras around the valley. So I kind of had a little bit of everything. But I think that's an interesting point that public school teachers don't have much more to offer as far as like what they can actually teach, but they do have a lot to offer as far as how much they can offer for free, and that all students, it's available to everyone. So that's awesome.
So as a music student, I know a lot is said and a lot is thought about what job opportunities are out there. A lot of times people kind of consider taking a job to teach like in a high school orchestra just for job stability, and sometimes people really don't like teaching a big group, so they just want to teach private lessons. So as your, from your perspective as a public school teacher, what are some, maybe on the logistical side of things, some financial benefits of being a high school teacher?
So I don't have to market myself. Well, okay, I take that back. You do have to market yourself. You actually
yeah.
do. I do quite a bit of recruiting and I do quite a bit of marketing as far as getting students more involved and interested in orchestra specifically. We heard the statistics at the beginning. The participation in orchestra is way lower than choir and band. And I think there's a lot that goes into it. There's obviously a lot of schools across the country where they don't even have orchestra as an option. But I think it's also that a lot of people aren't interested in orchestra. And it is harder to pick it up later. Like in choir, you can join as a senior and do great. As an orchestra member, that's a lot harder to do. I actually have had beginning seniors, but they are very few and far between. Mm. Anyway, to go back to the financial benefits. There is the benefit that I am not having to set myself up like a business. I don't have to do as much marketing. I don't have to do all the financial side of things of trying to do my taxes and pay for the insurance and all of that. It's taken care of through my employer, the school district. So there's that benefit. Also, we have a fairly decent retirement plan. We're one of the only professions that still gets a pension, which is basically unheard of in today's financial scene.
Mm-hmm.
We also have decent insurance. As far as stability, I mean, it kind of depends on where you're at. There definitely are some places where if you've got a job there, you do have a very stable career, but that isn't always the case. Every year I feel a little worried and tentative about will I have a job next year, because it is dependent on how many students sign up for your classes. So there is that side of maybe some instability, but it is more stable than just say some random 10-year-old whose parents felt like they needed to take violin lessons, but then they hated it and so they quit out of the blue. You know, there's always going to be some stability things that you have to worry about. But overall, a lot of times people talk about teachers not getting paid a ton. I feel like the teacher salary is actually quite competitive nowadays. It's improved quite a bit. So I feel pretty good about the financial aspects of teaching public school.
I feel really good that you feel good about that. Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Okay. Kind of sidestepping from that question, what do you think public school music programs contribute to a community?
I think this can vary a lot. And I think a lot of it depends on the individual teacher and director and how much they want to contribute to the community. I think music needs to be a big part of our community. I think it's a way to get people involved in a lot of ways and getting to know each other and feeling like they can trust each other. And so I do try and push my students to be part of the community. We work with our school on charity fundraisers. We work with the community orchestra and do some combined performances with them. We perform at community events. We try and do some service where we can, maybe perform at retirement or senior centers. So I think there's a lot that you can offer that way. You could also talk about how it influences the community as a whole to have students in music programs. Because honestly, my students are the best students ever. And that may seem like I'm just saying that because I like them. I do. I actually really enjoy working with my students, but they are the best. Like if you look at how they're involved in the school, if you look at their grades, if you look at the scholarships they get, if you look at how they are involved in the community outside of music, any way you measure it, they are the best students. And I don't think that that is coincidence. I honestly don't. I think that music helps students find themselves. I think it helps them to become better citizens. I think it helps them to work better with others. And I think it improves the community drastically just by them being who they are, working with other students who are like them.
Yeah. Now maybe I have a thought to kind of piggyback off that. Maybe this isn't exactly what you're referring to, but I lived in Chile for a period of time couple years ago, and having lived in a community or where like nationally there's no public music education infrastructure at all, it's very interesting. if I sang in a volunteer choir for like 2 weeks once, and I had like 2 rehearsals with them, but in that choir the singing was very interesting. Like obviously they're not very music literate, but they also like had no ability to read the music, really, like all the people in the choir. It was a small one, right? There was like maybe 10 of us, and basically nobody could read the music. Nobody could like sing the tune. You kind of just had that one person who already knew the song teach it by rote to everybody else. And there was a very clear gap in my understanding of what was happening in that choir versus their understanding. And that's even before I went to college, right? I had zero formal music school experience. And I was already like leagues ahead of where they were at of their music education. And of course, they're really smart people too. They're not just dumb. But that's because the infrastructure nationally is just different. There's no music being taught in the schools really anywhere. There's no private music teachers either. So somebody who learns piano is going to pick it up from YouTube by themselves, essentially. Everybody who I met in Chile who played piano learned it by themselves or from YouTube. So having come back to America where everybody I go to like a church congregation and people sing hymns and it's like, oh, there's harmonies happening. This is crazy. It was very, very different. I appreciate that quality of life being a little bit different. I just think that is an improvement, like a visceral improvement in the community in one way. And that's just in addition to, of course, volunteering and getting involved with the community through concerts or, you said, volunteer hours or other forms of that.
Yeah, and I think having more musicians trained in the community is always great, and it helps in a lot of ways. This is kind of off topic, but if you look into like the World Happiness Report and you look at the countries that are the happiest and have the best well-being, highest well-being, it's usually the countries that have the most trust, that they trust the people around them, they trust the people in their community. And I think music ensembles do a lot for that. There was one time I was working with a person that I wasn't really getting along with very well. She was kind of getting on my nerves. But then we played this duet together. And it was amazing to me how my feelings towards her changed, like almost instantaneously, just by playing this duet with her. Being able to make that music together made me like her better, which maybe seems weird. But I think this happens a lot. A lot of my students in my orchestra, they find their best friends, and they stay best friends for years afterwards. Like, I follow a lot of my students on social media, and I meet up with them sometimes after they graduate, 10 or 12 years after they graduate, and they're still best friends with the people that they were in my classes with. And I think having that community within our schools, within our music ensembles, also helps our community as a whole.
Yeah. As a little bit of a follow-up question, I want to rewind back to what you were saying about your students kind of being the best in the school in every regard. So at the beginning of this episode, I brought up some statistics, and they kind of probably seemed a little bit random, but I kind of wanted to outline the importance from like a outside perspective, the importance of maybe having music in schools and stuff. I know there's always this debate about like having music in schools is like better for the students or whatever. Like, what is that debate that...
They teach that music students do score higher on the tests, but they argue that it's not the music teaching that helps them score higher. Rather, it's the smarter kids who are scoring higher on tests enrolling in music classes. It's kind of like a correlation, not causation thing that I would be referring to.
Yeah, so like, kind of what are your thoughts on like the statistic that I shared earlier about having higher attendance, or like this statistic or this idea that like maybe smarter students are the ones enrolling in music? Like, what are the kind of all the correlations between that, and like why do you think that your students are the best students in the school?
So yeah, there are a lot of studies, and I know exactly what you're talking about, that there are a lot of studies that show, hey, kids in music, they graduate with much higher percentages than the normal general population of the school. They have much higher GPAs. You could go through all the list, like all these different things that they're better at. And you can definitely say, well, they're also the students with more parental involvement, and they're also coming from higher income families and all of that. There are some studies, I can't pull it up right now for you, but I know that there are some studies where they have tried to prove causation by taking a randomized group of students and dividing it in half and teaching some of them piano while some of them didn't, and seeing if their scores improved. And they actually were able to show, to some degree, some causation, that music actually does help. My personal opinion, which is totally biased because this is what I do for a living and this is definitely a huge part of my life, is I do think that music changes people. I think it changes the way that you think. I think it changes the way that you act and interact with others. And I think some of that is totally and most definitely related to the external factors, like their parental involvement and their socioeconomic demographics and all those things. But I've also seen a lot of students who come from lower income families, and I've seen a lot of students who are not the smartest or the sharpest knife in the shed. Like, I've had students across the range, and I have seen music teach students how to focus in a way that they are not asked to do in any other situation in their life, especially today, where everything is going so fast and every video is less than a minute and and every other teacher is like teaching for 5 minutes and then letting them have free time. Like, they're having to sit down and focus, just focus, for 90 minutes in my class. They are having to interact with other students in a way that they don't have to do in almost any other situation. They have to have a level of responsibility and accountability for learning their part that they don't have almost anywhere, even on a sports team. Like, if you're on the JV football team, yeah, you should be out there practicing and stuff, but how much are you practicing on your own? And if you don't quite make it, you're still on the team, even if you don't play on the game, So there's a lot of things that I think students learn in music classes that they are not getting anywhere else. And again, this is kind of off topic, but I would love to see somebody. A while back, I listened to a podcast where they were talking about how to help students score better and do better cognitively. And they found in this one study that just teaching them how to focus and increasing their attention span drastically improved their test scores. And I wonder sometimes if just that one thing is enough to make music students do better. And I'd love to see somebody do a study on that sometime.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it does take so much focus because, I mean, a symphony, if you were to perform a Beethoven symphony, usually, what are they, 45 minutes long or something? That's 45 minutes in concert that you are only doing that thing. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, in the age of, like you said, one-minute videos and fast-paced attention-grabbing editing, it's definitely nice to sit down and, even as a percussionist who has been forced to sit down in the back of symphonies before, it's still very cleansing to sit down and, like, listen to the orchestra, get into the piece, like, experience that. That's something you don't experience anywhere else, really, ever.
And even when you're not playing for every note, you have to still know where the music is and where the ensemble is.
And you feel a difference when, like, you do pay attention versus when you don't. Like, if you're just counting mathematically, like, 116 measures, and then you play versus you're listening to music and feeling it, that's, like, internalization to the music that, again, is a skill you don't get anywhere else. That's awesome. Our penultimate question we have for you is, how many of your students go on to study music? Like, how much of that has to do with your program versus their experience? Like, how many people do you think you have affected to where they study music?
I would specify by saying somebody who studies music in college. Let's just
gets
narrow it down.
A formal degree,
that.
A major, or like you can major in music or minor in music. Maybe like just choosing to do music with their professional future.
Yeah,
like
as some part of their professional future, they are studying and doing music. Mm.
So I actually have no idea how many of my students go on to study music. I do keep track of some of my students who choose to stay in contact with me, but a lot of my students don't. A lot of my students I never see again after they graduate. So I honestly don't know. I do know that there are some. I have had at least 3 or 4 or 5, maybe a few more, that have gone on to get degrees in either music education or performance. So I know it happens. Of those students who have gone on to get degrees in music, I also know that some of them are no longer pursuing music even after they got their degree. So, I mean, kind of a loaded question, not one that I can really answer fully. Also, I don't know how much I can take credit for any of that, because for the students who I know of who do go on to study music, honestly, I think they would have done it no matter what. They're students, for the most part, who were taking private lessons, who were very involved and very engaged, and were pretty much on that path even before I knew them. I just barely played a concert with the Salt Lake Symphony just a few days ago, and one of my past students was the conductor of this group. And it was funny watching him conduct, because the first time he ever conducted anything was in my groups. He specifically requested to conduct a piece. And the first time he chose the piece and he conducted it with our orchestra, did it on the concert. And he had already had it in his mind. He was going to be a conductor. And now here it is, probably 6 or 8 years later, and he is still pursuing that.
Cool.
Okay, so our last question for you is there currently a need for music teachers? Is this something that people should be studying more and trying to get into this field? Or is this something that is a dying field? Or is it a field that is maybe dying, but we want it to revive?
Okay, so there's lots of ways to answer this question. Again, I guess it depends on what you mean by, do we need music teachers? Do we need music in our lives? Yes, absolutely. Do we need music teachers to make that happen? Yes, 120%. I would say if you're asking, is there a lack of people wanting to be music teachers? I'd have to say the answer is no. We just hired a new band teacher at my school a couple years ago, and there were 27 applicants for his one job. 27 applicants, which means 26 of them not even close. And we didn't even, of all those 27, we only interviewed about five. So there is definitely not a lack of people wanting to teach music. There is a disconnect between the number of people wanting to teach music and the number of students in music programs. In a lot of places, that enrollment is diminishing. It is going down. And I have seen within my own community a lot of teachers who are very nervous that they're not going to have a job or that they're going to have to go part-time. And there's a lot of ways to talk about that. You could have a whole conversation just about this topic. I think we need more people who are willing to teach music not the way that they were taught. I think we need teachers who are willing to be creative, who are willing to learn new skills, maybe outside the ones that they learned themselves through their music education journey. I think we need to find teachers who are able to make music feel more relevant. But more than that, I think we are kind of fighting an uphill battle because it is hard. For so many kids and adults, I'm not just blaming the kids here, for a lot of adults too, so much of our society is instantaneous. It's instant gratification. It is, if I'm not good at it immediately, then I'm not going to do it. If I'm not going to make money on it, I'm not going to do it. There's all these things about our society that make music less appealing.
Yeah.
Because music is not instant, not even close. Like, if you want to get good at it, you're talking 10 years at least. Are you going to make money off of it? I don't know. Maybe. It's possible. Definitely a possibility, but also maybe not. Maybe you're only doing it for the joy of doing it. And I think our society, sadly, doesn't value and appreciate that.
Oh, that's such a great way to kind of wrap all of this up. Music is innovation and is doing things that may be against the norm of what society is wanting to do nowadays. I'm now realizing that the statistic I shared earlier of the 2013 percentages of students enrolling in music classes might be a little outdated with how much music enrollment changes over time. So I don't know if somebody wants to shout out a more recent source after listening to this episode. But yeah, I think that was a great way to kind of wrap all of this up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Music Mingle, and a big thank you to Megan for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It was fun to talk.
I know I've learned a lot, and hopefully you all benefited from this as well. Please give us a rating and leave a review if you would like, and make sure to follow us wherever you're listening. See you next time on Music Mingle.